Your Bible, 1 Kings chapter 18. Sometimes I laugh at God's sense of humor and timing. Of course, we've had 3 or 4 weeks of hot and dry, and of course we had that rainstorm this afternoon. I promise you this has been done for a week or better, and the title of my Bible study tonight is "The Rain is Coming." Promise you. I just had to laugh about that. 1 Kings chapter 18, we're going to start reading in verse number 41 through the end of the chapter here. 1 Kings 18, verse number 41. "And Elijah said unto Ahab, Get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees. And he said to his servant, Go up now, look toward the sea. He went up and he looked and said, There is nothing. And he said, Go again 7 times. And it came to pass at the 7th time that he said, Behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. And he said, Go up unto Ahab." I hear a pizza on the loose here. "Prepare thy chariot and get thee down that the rain stop thee not. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind. There was a great rain, and Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins, and he ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel." Now, keep your Bibles open. You have to understand that there has been a drought of absolutely no rain for 3 straight years. Elijah has seen Ahab only 2 times. Once was 3 years previous to tell him that there was going to be no rain till he saw him again. The second time was just at Mount Carmel and down where they had the challenge of the false prophets of Baal and the false prophets of the groves, and the 450 were slain there down in the valley. And Ahab is there in the valley and kind of milling around. And may I say something? Elijah wasn't Ahab's favorite person. Neither was Elijah's favorite person. They really didn't have much love for one and the other. And by the way, can you imagine the prophet of God standing, watch what happened, and then kill 450 false prophets? That'd be like me going to the ministerial assassination and killing them all and the mayor loving me, all right? It just probably wouldn't happen that way. Not that that's ever going to happen. But you have to understand that his wife Jezebel, that's Ahab's wife, she had those 400 false prophets of the groves, and she was worse than Ahab. Ahab was bad. Jezebel was worse. You know, behind every great man is a greater woman. Behind every evil man is a more evil woman, generally. It kind of goes both directions. And Elijah tells Ahab to get back home. He said, you better get something to eat and drink and get back home. The rain's coming. And if you don't hurry, you're going to get washed out on the way because there's going to be so much rain coming. Ahab and his entourage prepare to leave for Jezreel. And Elijah goes back up on Mount Carmel and begins to pray, and one of his servants is with him. And as he's praying, he looks to his servant and he says, go up on top and look west towards the Mediterranean Sea and tell me what you see. And the servant runs up to the very top and looks, comes back and says, I didn't see anything, sir. And Elijah begins to pray again and he said, run back up. They go through this 7 times. Not one, not two, not three, not four, not five, not six, but 7 times. Still nothing there. But on that 7th time, that servant come back and he said, well, Elijah, he said, I didn't see much, but he said, there's just and Brother Barnes, there's a little ring or something going on up here. I'm not quite sure what changed, but just turn the volume down just a hair. The main, and we'll be okay. I'll provide the balance for it. But he said, I see a cloud rising out of the Mediterranean Sea, and it looks like the hand of a man. Thank you, Brother Barnes. Now, look at verse number 44. Excuse me, I choked myself. And it came to pass on the seventh time that he said, behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. And he said, go up, say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot, get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. He said, look, now that you've seen that, he said, run down, tell Ahab to get out of here because the rain's coming, and he better hurry up or he isn't going to be able to get home. Now, in West Virginia terms, we're going to have a gully washer. Amen? Yeah, like today, Ahab takes off in his horse and chariot, but Elijah begins to run on foot. Now, you have to understand something. From where they were at the Kishon River to where Jezreel was is 31 miles. We're not talking they ran from here to Sheets. Most of you couldn't do that. We'd have to call 911 just to get you some oxygen by the time you got there. But it's a 31-mile trip. And the Bible says that God touched Elijah. Now listen to this. And he outran Ahab and the horses and chariots to Jezreel. Now, I don't know about you. I hate long distance running. I have never seen a happy jogger. It just doesn't happen. Now, can I say something? He gets to town. He's waiting on Ahab and the entourage to get there. He's leaning up against the gate at the city and says, hey, king, how you doing? Not breathing hard or anything. And I imagine Ahab said, what's going on here? I wonder how he took a shortcut. Where's his horse? He didn't have one. He ran. Now, let me give you a couple things from this and we'll get home here. First of all, God let Elijah hear what others could not hear. God let Elijah hear what others could not hear. Look at verse number 41. And Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of the abundance of rain. Did you ever see that statement before? Elijah said, you better get up and get something to eat before that 30-mile trip. Eat your lunch quick. He said, because I hear the sound of an abundance of rain coming. He heard the sound of abundance of rain. Go back to chapter 18, verse number 1. Now, God told him rain was coming, but he didn't know when. Look at verse number 1. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. Wait a minute, that's chapter 17. My page is stuck. Knew something wasn't right. That wasn't coming out right. And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. I want you to notice a couple things here. First of all, Elijah heard the word of the Lord. Second of all, he obeyed. And then we find later in verse number 41 that he hears the abundance of rain. He had seen God answer by fire and defeat the false prophets. He knew God would do what God said he would do. Can I tell you something? God always will do what he says he's going to do. You don't have to wonder if God said it, that's it. It used to be a saying back in the 70s. God said it, I believe it, that settles it. It's 2/3 right, 1/3 wrong. God said it, that settles it. Doesn't matter whether you believe it or not. Doesn't matter what you believe, God said it, that settles it. We've got to get to the point where when God says something, we just believe it's going to come. And God gives his men sometimes the ability to hear things that others don't hear. Now, Elijah knew God would use this timing of the fire and the lapping up of the water and the sacrifice to his benefit. I think he had an inclination that the time was near, but he wasn't sure. Now, you say, why do you say that? Because Elijah knew it was good timing for God. After you've just seen 450 false prophets and the whole nation has seen God answer by fire, don't you think it's a pretty good time for God to do something else? All of a sudden, the world has seen Ahab embarrassed for his wickedness by Jehovah God. I imagine Elijah said, God, this is a pretty good time. I think y'all do it. I think y'all do it. God told him it was soon, and he listened. Now, sometimes God allows the man of God to hear things others don't hear. Take your Bible, turn to the book of Revelation chapter 2. I am not going to necessarily read all of these verses. I'll read a portion of each of these verses. I've got about 15, 20 verses here. Somebody's phone's exciting. Revelation chapter 2, look at verse number 7. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Oh, he that hath an ear, let him hear. Look at verse number 11. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Look at verse 17. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Look at chapter 2, verse 29. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Look at chapter 3, verse number 6. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Look at verse number 13. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Look at also verse 22. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. Now look at me. That means this: God can speak into the ear of a person through the Holy Spirit to where if you're in tune, you can hear it. Mamas, you know what I'm talking about. Them little babies, you know their cry. You know if they're... You know, dad hears a cry, you know, the world's coming to an end. What's going on? You say, oh, they're just fussing. It's okay. Or no, that one needs changed. You can tell by the cry. Yeah, you can tell by the cry. That one's hungry. How do you know? Because he's always hungry. No, and that's just your husband. But you can tell different things by the sound. By the way, someone who's in tune with the Spirit can actually hear things via the Spirit. God gives his man a perception of words that some people don't hear. Please don't take this the wrong way. There are things that I perceive as a preacher that the average person glosses over, but because I have to be in tune with the Holy Spirit, I hear what's being said and I hear what's not being said, and I hear those things. Does that make sense to y'all? Sometimes when I'm counseling with somebody, it's I'll hear one thing said, and the Lord says, that's it. Okay, they think it's over here. Nope, right there. So let's circle back and hit this again. There are sometimes it's not being said, and I'm hearing the Lord tell me this is what it is, and I hear what's not being said. I'm not hearing voices. I don't need your medicine, all right? But it's not anything like that. But the Holy Spirit allows his men sometimes to hear things or to see things that aren't as visible to most people. Elijah heard the sound of the abundance of rain. Nobody else saw it or heard it. Say, well, it was thunder. If it was thunder, everybody would have heard it. If you were sitting in my house about 5 o'clock this afternoon, Miss Wally and I both had rapture practice. There was a flash of lightning that I swear landed on my neighbor's house and went through my house, and the thunder followed it just as quick, and me, Miss Wally, and the dog, all three came out of the chair. Boom! My wife's laughing at all three of us. I was like, man, that was close. It was just one of those, you know, thunder, everybody's going to hear. You don't always hear in the distance rain. Now, I've been out hunting enough. I've been out and I can hear it coming. If you've been out in the woods or out in the fields, all of a sudden you feel the wind blowing and all of a sudden you hear something and say, uh-oh, Time to duck for cover. Here it comes. And you can hear the rain, but it wasn't that close. You got to remember, he had time to walk up the mountain and pray seven times. It wasn't like it was just sitting on the edge waiting to come. Matter of fact, it was sometime after that, he had time to run back to Jezreel 31 miles before it rained. Somebody's popular tonight. Now, God gives his man a perception sometimes to hear, and sometimes he gives him a perception of what's not being said. Now, listen to me very carefully. There are people that will tell you, well, they have the gift of the hearing of the Spirit. They're an idiot. Okay, there's no gift for it. But someone who is in tune with the Holy Spirit of God can hear things that sometimes people don't perceive. I've worked with enough people. I've worked with enough situations. I understand that perception. I was talking to a man this afternoon, and he was saying a few things, and I stopped him, and I said, Doc, how about we just stop with that topic because you're headed down this way. Let's stop it here. Everything is okay. He looked at me. He said, hi. I said, I know where you're going. I said, I'm your friend. Let's just leave it at that. Let's not go any farther down that road. Boy, that's good. I said, yep, it is. I had to deal with an ethics situation today. I dealt with it carefully. But I dealt with it the right way, and I stood by my ethics. You say, what was it? I heard things that were coming that should not be said, so I said, nope, we're not going to do that. And I avoided all of those uncomfortable things. I didn't just let them ramble. And I didn't pry for it because I didn't want to know, amen? You see, sometimes you have to be in tune with the Spirit to perceive those things. There's times as a parent, your children want something. Well, Mom said it was okay. Okay, let's call Mom. Do we have to? You better make sure if one says that the other parent did it, that you check with the other parent before you agree. You say, why is that, preacher? That's called perception. Sometimes you can see it written all over them. This isn't good. If it's too good to be true, it's too good to be true. And all kids do that, but by the way, all people do that. All of us do that. So sometimes God gives the man of God the ability to hear things. Don't be surprised that if you come to the preacher for counsel, you think you're coming in for this, and all of a sudden you walked out and it went a different direction. Say why? Because I was able to hear something you didn't hear in what you said. I don't have a pre-planned agenda when somebody comes to me for advice. Half the time I don't even know what they're coming for. I don't have time to plan for it. And yet I'll hear things between a husband, a wife, a parent, a child, a parent, two friends, a business deal, whatever. I was working with one of our businessmen in the last year, and one thing he said, I was able to key on it, and I said, right, here's the answer to what you're looking for. And it was just something so very simple and basic that you'd look right past it, but it's changed everything. Say, what was that? Listening in the Spirit so that I could hear what others don't hear. It's not a gift, all right? My wife will tell you it's called selective hearing. But I saw the smile on her face while I was talking, trust me. You just, when you're in tune and it's something that is spiritual, someone that is listening and yielded to the Spirit will hear things from that other person and help the man of God get those things on the right page. So, number one, God let Elijah hear what others could not. I love this. Number two, are you ready? Elijah still had to be persistent with God. Look at verse number 42. Now, you got to understand something. God told him it was going to rain, verse number one. He heard the sound of rain, verse number 41. Look at verse 42. So Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel and cast himself down upon the earth, put his face between his knees, and said unto his servant, Go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and he looked and said, There's nothing. And he said, Go again 7 times. Now notice something. Elijah knew that it was coming. But he said, Look, we're going to do this up to 7 times. So you better get your running shoes on. God didn't just answer Elijah on the first call. He did when it came to the prophets of Baal. But he didn't on this rain thing. Be careful that you don't ask God one time and think that God's the genie in the bottle that's got to pop out and give you your request. There's times you need an immediate answer. I get that. But there are times God says, well, let's it's not time yet. Do you give up? He knew God was going to have it rain, but he needed to ask God 7 times before he got confirmation. He didn't just start taking off, getting ahead of Ahab. He said, Look, there's a cloud coming. You get down there, tell him to get moving, and then I'm going to take off running. Can I tell you something? God doesn't answer the man of God's prayers any faster than anybody else's usually. I don't have the magic answer. Now, we've got an incredible word of God, and a lot of times we can find the answer right there, but there's sometimes you just got to grit it out and make it happen. I don't have the answers to why is this person sick? I can't tell you. I don't have the answers as to why does this person die? Why did that person die? By the way, I can answer that one. We're all sinners. It doesn't satisfy you, but that's the answer. You say, well, that's not fair, preacher. It isn't if you're trying to be God yourself. But if you let God be God, by the way, God doesn't always control all that. That's where we get messed up. But I want you to notice, he sent a messenger 7 different times after praying to look for the answer. I've been in those situations. Pray, then go look at the mailbox. Pray, go out to the mailbox. Pray, go out to the mailbox. Pray, go out to the mailbox. Nothing. And pray and pray and pray and seek and seek. I was out one day and I said, Lord, I need you. And I had been praying, I had been praying, I had been praying. I told God exactly what I needed and it hadn't come. So I kept praying and it didn't come. And I kept praying, it didn't come. We were in the midst of building this building. I had a man said, Can I meet you at the church property? I said, Sure. He wanted to see it. Showed him around, shook my hand to leave, put a $25,000 check in my hand. I said, That was more than I was asking for. I'm glad I waited. Wait a minute. He didn't answer me the first time. First 100 times. But when I needed it most, thank God when we need him most, he's there. Sometimes we think we need it before we really need it, though. Now, I want you to know something. Elijah had to be persistent with God. Dr. Anderson, bless his pea-picking heart. I was driving him from the airport one day. We were coming to the church here. I remember where we were at. We were on Route 9, and he was going to speak when we were over in Aiken Center. And we were getting on Queen Street, getting off the Queen Street exit off of Route 9, going north towards the church building. And he said, Brother Bush, I said, Yes, sir. He said, You preachers are pretty stubborn. I said, Yes, sir. We got to put up with people like you. He said, I like you. I said, How do you think God got a hold of your heart? We got to be harder headed than you are. He said, You know, that's a good point. He said, These sissy britches preachers don't get my attention. He said, You tough boys. I said, We're not as tough as you think you are. We just keep on going. He said, That's what I like about you. He said, You don't give up. He said, You don't cry about it. It's just you and God. Oh, poor me. It's just me and God. He said, Poor you. It's just you and God. He said, Must be pretty tough, isn't it? I said, I'm having time in my life. He said, That's why I like this church. Can I tell you something? You sometimes just have to be persistent. Elijah did not give up asking. He persevered and got what was needed when it was needed. Now, God knew what was ahead. He just knew there was more time needed than Elijah knew. Sometimes you got to get to a point where you trust God's timing and don't rely on yours. You're not God. Hardest thing for me to deal with in the ministry is not playing God with timing. It's just sometimes you got to jump out by faith. But God, yep, all right, I'm out on the limb. Don't cut the tree down, please. All right? Been there, done that, lived there. God knew what was ahead. He just needed Elijah to wait just a little bit because he needed Ahab to take off first. Listen to this statement. God never fails to answer, but we need not get a bad attitude when he doesn't answer when or how we ask. Be careful you don't get a bad attitude with God because you didn't get it when you wanted it or how you wanted it or where you wanted it or when you wanted it. I learned a long time ago, there are some times I've asked God for things and didn't get it and later said, thank you for not giving me that. You say, why? I saw where that ended up later. I'm glad I didn't get that. There's times in your life where you're going to have to trust God's timing over your timing. When it comes to the events of life, quit playing God. I'm serious. Quit playing God. You say, well, preacher, don't you ever question? No. I've questioned it too many times and been wrong and not going to do it anymore. Now, by the way, Elijah didn't see the whole answer. Look at verse 44. It came to pass at the seventh time that he said, behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. Now, look at me. Does that sound like a big storm cloud to you? He said, I just need to know God's listening. I just need to see the direction God wants us to go. I just need to see that little cloud. If I can just see a little cloud, I know God's on his way. And he finally comes back and says, I see a little cloud coming out of the sea. It looks like a man's hand. He said, that's it. Go tell Ahab. We got about a half hour, 45 minutes, a couple hours before this thing hits. We got to get going here. We got a 31 mile... jog to take here, dude. Now, a marathon is 26.2 miles. Is that right, Mrs. Barnes? That's a marathon plus 5 miles. Imagine running a marathon and then run 5 more miles and outrun a horse and chariot. Whew. That's some pretty serious stuff. Now, he didn't need to see the whole answer. He just needed to see the movement of God's moving on the situation. Can I tell you something? There's times as your preacher, I don't have the full answer, but I see the cloud, the size of a man's hand coming out of the sea. Now's the time. You remember when you came to this property the first time, the jungle? And you all kept saying, preacher, are you sure? You're going to put a building where? I'm standing right about where there was a big cherry tree and a couple walnut trees that Brother Barnes and I took down for firewood. I remember it plain as day. And people couldn't see it. I had tape marked off and string. Yeah, I still can't see a building there, preacher. All right, you don't have to, but I can. Yeah, I can't see a parking lot. Where's it? Don't worry, it'll all come, I promise you. And look what God has done. Poor Miss Wally, she said, you're going to put it where? I still can't see that. I don't care how many pictures you show me. Just wait till it's done. I'll come look at it. And many of you were the same way. But little by little, bit by bit, just battle by battle with the county, we finally got through it. Can I tell you something? God gives his man the ability to see the direction and gives him the knowledge of where things are going. Brother Josh, you know this as a preacher. There's sometimes you can't see the end, but you can see the direction it's going. And as long as you got things going the right direction, you know you're going to get to the end eventually. Sometimes the preacher can't see the end, but he knows what direction we're headed. Just stay in line. There's times in a counseling session, I'll see the direction and we'll flip that direction a little bit and say, this is the direction. Let's head here. As the leader of the church at times, sometimes I have to say, here's the direction we're going. And you say, are you sure, preacher? Yes, I'm sure. Let's do this. And you trust that direction, and boy, look what God has done. And sometimes God gives the man of God those things. Now, Ahab was still milling around the dead false prophets. Elijah's up on the mountain praying. Ahab is still grumbling and complaining about his preachers that were dead, his false prophets. And Ahab was too busy to see God working. Ahab was too evil. He was focused on his own situation. He wasn't focused on what was good for the people of Israel. Elijah was concerned for God and the children of Israel. And he said, okay, God, you've shown Ahab up. They all now know you've answered me that what I've said of you is true. Now, God, it's a pretty good time. You could really, no pun intended, douse the flames if you let the rain come. You could stoke this thing up. And he persisted and he persisted and he persisted and he persisted. And he said, okay, I see that. I see the direction. We're going to get going, God. And he acted in faith immediately. It didn't say he saw a storm cloud. He said, I saw the cloud like a man's hand. Now, number three, look at verse number 46, and I'll finish with this, and I'll let you out a little bit early tonight. Look at verse number 46. And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. I want you to notice something here. The hand of God on someone gives added physical strength when needed. When someone has the hand of God on their life, God can supernaturally give you the strength you need. I hear this often, preacher, how do you keep going? The hand of God. There's days I get weary. And then the phone will ring. And that's another half hour, 45 minutes to an hour with somebody. There's days my mind is wrung out. Preacher, can I call you? Yes. Lord, help me. My wife will tell you, I could be dead as a hammer. Somebody will call. I'll spend a half hour, 45 minutes on the phone with them. Come out, and I'm bebopping, zipping. I'm fine. Say, how's that happen? The hand of God gives you a strength that you cannot explain. Can I teach you a truth that will help you for the rest of your life? When you're down, when you're tired, when you're struggling, ask for God's hand on your life and go help somebody. Do something for somebody else. And when you do that, you get your mind off your problem, your tiredness, your issues, and all of a sudden you find this strength that you didn't know you had. I was thinking of Miss Wally today. It was kind of humorous. There's a tropical storm in the Caribbean Sea right now called Tropical Storm Fred. I'm not lying. She and I have laughed about it. She said, well, it'll take it forever to get here. But I'm sorry. It was funny. It really was. It was so appropriate, you know. But I thought of going through Fred's homegoing and helping of Wally and how tired she was. She doesn't look tired anymore. She's doing fine. I was thinking about, and matter of fact, I used it to help somebody today about preaching Sarah's funeral, Michael's mom's funeral. I'll be honest with you. I told my wife the whole drive to Georgia that time. I don't know if I can do this. I really didn't. I wasn't sure I was going to be able to do it. I was sharing part of the funeral with another preacher, Brother Hanby. Works with Dr. Caudill. Brother Hanby calls me, and I've got him on speakerphone while I'm driving. And you got to understand these Georgia boys. Brother, they talk like this. I mean, their pants could be on fire, and it'd take them 10 minutes to say that, you know? Good grief. I mean, they're as slow as last year's itch. And Brother Hanby kept saying, he said, Brother Bush, I'm so glad you're preaching and not me. He said, no way I want to do this thing. He said, I'm doing it for Brother Nathan, but I'm glad you're preaching. I'm not going to preach. I said, thanks, Brother Hanby. I said, you sure? He said, nope, you got it. Okay. I told my wife, I hung up, and I said, that's not fair. Brother Hanby's older than me. I can't tell you what happened. But we had to go to the funeral home and view Sarah's body, and it was rough. It was hard. I remember when it was time to leave, we said, okay, Nathan, it's time to go. We got to go to church. And he walked over and touched her hand and sat down on the chair and just sobbed. I gave him a few minutes, and I walked over, and I said, come on, buddy. I said, don't turn around. Let's just walk. I'll walk with you. And I literally put his arm around my neck, lifted him up, Brother Mike, and we walked down the aisle like that. I said, we're going to make it. I'll be honest with you, I didn't feel like doing that. I'd say, where'd you want to be sitting beside him blubbering? I remember being at the church the next day. They were getting ready to close the casket, and the family got to see her for the last time. I'm walking the family back to where they can close things down and get things ready, and I watched Nathan and Michael break down. We're in the back, and everybody weeping. Brother Mike, I honestly didn't know if I could make it. Everybody started walking down the hall, and I stopped, and I got on my knee, and I said, God, I need your touch, because I can't do this. And I got up, and I walked. Right before we walked through the door, Brother Hanby put his hand on my shoulder. He said, you okay, brother? I said, nope, but let's do it anyway. And we walked out. We had a revival service that day. We really did. It was an amazing time. I didn't do it. I felt like I was sitting beside my wife watching me do it. It was the hand of God giving me the strength to get through it. I'll promise you. There are times where the hand of God will give you the strength to do what you need to do. I didn't feel like doing my mama's funeral. I wanted to because I promised her I would. I know Josh didn't want to do it either. But the hand of God got upon us and we were okay. Say, what is that? Sometimes you just need that touch from God. He'll say, let me show you what you can do. Elijah ran 31 miles and outran horses and chariots. Now think about that. Most of you haven't walked 31 miles in the last month. Maybe this year. Maybe. But I mean 31 miles and outrun a horse and horses and chariots. That's something. Maybe it's, you say, preacher, how do you carry the load you carry? When the hand of God's on you, you don't have to worry about it. Now, I'm going to make a statement. Please don't get angry with me. This is not a critical statement. About 15, 20 years ago, it was a popular thing for preachers to take a year or two off because they need a sabbatical. They're too tired. I'll be honest with you. That's somebody that needs to go get an honest job. Amen. I understand there's times where people have worked so hard, physically they've broken their body down. And I've met a few people like that, but not many. But may I say this, I don't need to run to a conference every month to get it encouraged. If I don't see the hand of God on our church, it's my fault, not yours. Why should I have to go to a conference every month or every other month to go get encouraged so I can go back and encourage you? Good night, I get strength doing this. There's days I am weary and wore out when I stand here. But you'll never know when it is. I'll sit there and go, okay, God. I'll get up and then it's like, that was pretty good. Let's keep on preaching. I felt better than I did when I started. Man, I've preached with pneumonia. I've preached after kidney stones on drugs. That's not advisable to do very often. You name it, I've done it. Say, why? Because when the hand of God touches you, you're okay. You get the strength you need. Say, preacher, I don't know that I can make it. Get the hand of God on you. You can make it, I promise you. That hand of God will give you the strength you need to make it that next step. Say, well, I don't know if I can make it the whole way. You don't have to look at the whole way. Just say, God, I need help for the next step. And the next step. And the next step. And the next step. And the hand of God, with that, Elijah ran 31 miles and outran the horses and chariot. That's not normal. And it only happened because of the hand of the Lord. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Elijah's an amazing person. Elijah was no different than you and me. Elijah was a man, just like you and I. But he had the hand of God. He persevered. And Elijah, well, he just heard what others could not hear that the Spirit was telling him. What a wonderful way to live our lives today.